live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron. Radio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 8th day of April, 2022. And I am still shouting praises to the Lord Jesus Christ for the wonderful event that he enabled me to pull off yesterday. And that is the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio biannual pastor's luncheon. It was just such an enormous success with nearly 100 men there, and it was so much of a blessing to see so many of the Christian book publishers come through as they normally do and provide 100 copies of each title I selected from them. So there were thousands of books there that the men received for free, in addition to having a wonderful lunch provided by Perry County Cafe. And Dan Buttafuoco, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, to be more formal, attorney at law and founder and president of the Historical Bible Society, was my speaker. And he just blew me away. I have seen him do many presentations before, never have gotten bored by any of them, even though I've seen than many times, but he actually spoke with a different focus yesterday on the need, the power, and the benefit of apologetic evangelism. And it was just such an extraordinary event. One man after another kept approaching me after it was over with a big beaming smile, saying how amazing they thought Dan's presentation was, and thanking me for inviting them. And so many of them, of the men present, have already signed up for my September 22nd Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon, which, God willing, will feature Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So if you are listening and you are a man in ministry leadership, please email me at chrisarnzen@gmail.com if you would like to put on the registration list for this free event, which will once again be held at the Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is in Perry County, Pennsylvania, pastored by Doran Ray. And I have to thank again Pastor Doran Ray, not only for allowing me to use his extremely large, spacious, and beautiful facilities for free, but he also provided members of his congregation who are volunteers, waiting and bussing on tables and serving food and drink. And it was just an extraordinary blessing. They were the ones blessing me and the men, and yet they were profusely and repeatedly thanking me for allowing them to be the venue of this event. And I will keep you updated on when the recording, the audio and video of this event was recorded. And I will hopefully have that available to the public soon. It might even be available today for all I know. I know that Church of the Living Christ said that they were going to post it on their YouTube page, but I will keep you all updated as I receive updates. Thanks again to all of you who made yesterday's event possible. I'm afraid of starting to list those who helped to make it possible in fear I'm going to forget someone. So I think I better just be safe and say thank you to all of you who made the event possible. I could never have done it without you, and you know who you are. So praise God, he is so good. Today we have on the program someone who has been on my show so frequently. Somebody actually recommended I change the name of my program to Iron Sharpens Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. I have him on this program so frequently because I love him, and he's one of my favorite guests. He's a brilliant man who has far deeper insights than I do into all things theological, doctrinal, and historical. And he is the pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. Today we are going to be addressing an assessment of the church in the 20th and 21st century. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III.
It's always enjoyable, Chris. I love it.
Why don't you explain or describe for our listeners who have not yet heard you, tell us something about Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia.
Well, Cumming, Georgia is a bedroom county just north of Atlanta. And Heritage Presbyterian Church is a small church. We started about 7 years ago. We're members of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, Hanover Presbytery. And our particular congregation has grown since the last time I've talked to you. So we have a growing congregation, always have new people there from various kinds of backgrounds. And it is a delight being the pastor there. We're committed to the original Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechisms. We are dedicated to the Great Commission and to the historic Reformed faith. And we have a congregation of people that come from a variety of backgrounds. And God is using them in so many ways and so many areas of life. And so it's a privilege to be their pastor.
Amen. Well, I'm sure they view it as a great privilege and honor to be sitting beneath your teaching, preaching, and shepherding. And for those of you who want more information about this church, whether you live near Cumming, Georgia, are passing through there, or have friends, family, and loved ones in or near there, the website is heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. HeritagePresbyterianChurch.com. And I know that one of your elders, Tim Renshaw, operates a website. Could you tell us about that as well?
It is called ComprehensiveChristianity.com. And he has suspended all of his other employment activities to spend his time scanning, editing, publishing all of my papers and manuscripts that I have in box after box in my basement. And they are on Kindle. They're paperback. He has already several up, and some of these are free. So let me encourage you to go to ComprehensiveChristianity.com.
And in addition to that, I know that you have a multi-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism. Tell us about that as well.
Well, the Westminster Standards, in my opinion, are biblical Christianity in their purest human expression. We see a very similar system of theology and ethics in the 1689 edition of the London Confession. They represent the best of Christianity. And there are all kinds of good commentaries on the Westminster Confession of Faith. There's loads of great commentaries on the Shorter Catechism. But there have been only a few commentaries on the Larger Catechism in the since the 1500s, well, since the 1600s, and it is my favorite of all. It's more exhaustive, it's more practical, it's more detailed in its exposition of Reformed doctrine and Reformed ethics, and so I decided to preach a series of sermons on it that took me several years to preach, and since I had all these notes, I decided I might as well publish them into book form. And so we've sold several sets. There are 8 volumes of this set, and they're beautifully published. I'm thrilled with the way they were published. And it is not just for pastors and for seminary students, but it's for anybody that wants to seriously study the Scriptures. I know of fathers right now that are, in the evening, they read a portion of my commentary for their family worship to their family. And it is a great blessing to me to read and reread, not my commentary, but the Westminster Larger Catechism. And catechism means that it is teaching us biblical truth in forms of questions and answers. That a question is asked, and then the answer is given. And it is a great tool. It's a great basis for church unity. It's a great instrument in evangelism. It's a great tool for Christian education and for a family education. So go to westminstercommentary.com or comprehensivechristianity.com and see it for yourself.
I just want to read Dr. Joseph A. Pipa's endorsement of this. He is president of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. He's also been a guest on this program and has written a wonderful endorsement for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as well. But Dr. Pipa says about the 8-volume commentary on the Larger Catechism by my guest, Dr. Moorcraft, which is titled Authentic Christianity. Dr. Pipa says, every Christian who is serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use this set. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. And that is quite a high bit of praise from someone of the very high caliber of Dr. Joseph A. Pipa, Jr.
It is something. That is true. I appreciate it for what he said.
Well, today we are going to be addressing an assessment of the church in the 20th and 21st century. It's hard to believe when I think about it that we are nearly a quarter of the way through the 21st century. I'm just amazed by that because I can remember thinking with awe that when it was New Year's Eve, 1999, that we were entering into a new century, the year 2000, and it's already 2022, just 3 years away from being a quarter of the 21st century.
It is hard to believe.
But, I will sit back, relax, and listen as you begin your assessment of the church in the 20th and 21st century, obviously beginning with the 20th. What were the highlights of the church and also the very low points of the church that you care to bring up as a part of our discussion?
Yes, sir. What we've been doing these 8 or 9 times we were together is look at the great heroes of the faith throughout the history of the church from the first century on up to date. And the last time we were together, we talked about some great heroes of the faith in the 19th century, particularly at Princeton Seminary. In the early 19th century, the Reformed Church in this country was strong. It had strong seminaries in North and the South. It was weak in the New England states that had been overrun earlier by Unitarianism. But there were many great preachers, many great commentators, many great authors, many great seminarians like Charles Hodge, J.A. Hodge. And then in the Princeton of the South, Columbia Theological Seminary and Union Theological Seminary in Richmond, Virginia. There were some great men like Robert L. Dabney and William Henry, Henley Thornwell and Plummer and Girardeau and Robert Webb and Benjamin Morgan Palmer. These were preachers and seminarians and authors, and I just wish we had time to spend about all of these. In fact, I think Robert L. Dabney was probably the greatest Reformed theologian produced in the United States up to that time.
By the way, I still give away whenever the the timing is appropriate. Pastor Thornwell's superb book, refuting the authenticity of Roman Catholic baptism. I don't know if you agree with Pastor Thornwell on that, but I sure do, obviously. And it's something that is a very rarely believed teaching amongst Presbyterians these days. Most Presbyterians accept Roman Catholic baptism, but I don't know where you stand.
Well, it was basically the position of the old Southern Presbyterian Church in the 19th century. He wasn't saying anything new at the time. Everybody ought to have things by him. They ought to have the one book of sermons by Benjamin Morgan Palmer, who when I read his sermons, and even though he preached for decades, there's only one book of sermons of his. And every time I read any of his sermons, I want to tear up all mine and never preach again. Because he was such a faithful and powerful and invigorating and courageous preacher of the gospel. Everybody also ought to have Dabney. Dabney wrote a great and helpful systematic theology. It's helpful in that it not only talks about how the various doctrines in the Bible are woven together, but he gives a lot of exegesis, and he sets the doctrines of the Reformed faith up before other systems. It's a very useful thing. He has a great historical book that I love, and I've given away copies of this. I don't have any copies now. It is Discussions. There are five volumes of by Dabney called Discussions, and this is volume 4. And it deals largely with history, particularly American history. And his article in there, The New South, is almost prophetic, even though it was written back in the 19th century. So these men were great men. Robert Webb is one of my favorite theologians. He was Girardot's son-in-law. It's hard to find books by him, but particularly his book on salvation is very useful. Girardot was quite a man. Girardot pastored a church in Columbia, South Carolina, that was packed every Sunday morning. And the attendees were all black people. And when I read Girardot's sermons, many of them are so philosophical they're over my head. Now, I'm used to reading a lot of books on theology. I want you to notice who attended his church. Hundreds and hundreds of black people in Columbia, South Carolina wouldn't miss these sermons that are over the head of most Calvinists today.
Wow.
So that gives us a view of the mentality of the Southern black person that we normally don't think of. When the Reformed Church entered the 20th century, it entered crippled and compromised. Large sections of it were despondent and discouraged because of the war between the states and Reconstruction that took place after that. Also, throughout that whole century and before, there were European philosophical transplants that, to one degree or another, had weakened the Reformed Church. For instance, I already mentioned Unitarianism. We've talked about that a lot in our times together. That it entered into New England in the late 18th century, and by 1830, it had eaten up the New England states. There was also Transcendentalism, Romanticism, Darwinianism, and the various other rationalism, existentialism, subjectivism, and all these various European transplants that many of our colleges and seminaries imbibed in the 19th century, and so the church was greatly weakened in the 20th. As someone said one time, you can't get the mud out of the stream unless you get the hogs out of the spring. And so if your seminaries and colleges are going to be filled with these hogs, with these men who are to one degree or another betraying the historic Reformed faith, you can't but expect for their influence to filter down through the whole denomination. There are a lot of influences that weakened the church as it came into the 20th century. When it came into the 20th century, it left behind three of its great emphases that it had emphasized not only in this country, but all the way back to the Protestant Reformation. And it laid them aside. One was the sovereignty of God's grace. Two was the victory orientation of the kingdom of God in history. And three was the abiding authority of the law of God in both testaments. The church had always believed that. But by the time it came into the 20th century, those things you heard less and less and you read less and less of. Besides, there was the influence of German liberalism, rationalism. In the early 20th century, there was the influence of Karl Barth, we call neo-orthodoxy, that tried to reinterpret Christianity in terms of existentialism. And so his words sound like us, but when you read them honestly, the way he intended for them to be read, you'll see that he's saying something completely different, and he fooled the church. The evangelicals in the early 20th century bought what he was selling. They thought he was great. They were very critical of people who were critical of him. And they might have made some minor criticisms of him, but they adored Karl Barth, so that in 1941, when Cornelius Van Til came out with his nuclear bomb, called his book called Christianity and Barthianism, separating Christianity and Barthianism completely, I mean, that did hit like a bomb.
You know, it's interesting. I'm fairly certain you're aware of this, but there seems to be a move among some men who appear to be theologically sound and confessional and reformed, who are trying to rescue the reputation of Barth that's going on these days. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have noticed that. And it has a lot to do with I don't want to get into this too complicated, with the new perspective on Paul, with a modern approach toward inspiration, federal vision, all of those groups have quoted Karl Barth positively. And yet he's one of the most poisonous influences on the Reformed and Christian church in the 20th century.
Now, obviously, as a theonomist and Christian Reconstructionist, you are able to say, because there is a slander that the entire movement of theonomy is also allied with Christian Reconstructionism and theonomy, because whole movement of theonomy is allied with federal vision, I mean. And because there are many, in fact, it might have even been the majority of those who launched the federal vision movement that were theonomists. But it is certainly not something that should identify the entire movement of men that would go under the umbrella of that label of theonomy.
I'm a theonomist. I'm telling you, Karl Barth is a poisonous influence upon the Christian church. And that you did have some of these men in the early days start to quote Barth because they were reacting against what they saw as the Hellenism and the rationalism of the Westminster Confession of Faith and of historic Calvinism. So they saw Barth as something that's fresher though they quit quoting him very quickly, and that was only a handful, and they quoted Bart only after they said they were no longer theonomists. So, anyway, so Bartism and German theologies had a great influence on the church as the end of the 20th century, and then also fundamentalism. The same time that sections of the church in this country were becoming depressed emotionally in the last part of the 19th century, there was a new theology and eschatology that was spreading once again from Europe, that was spreading from England to the shores of this country. And it was the view we call today dispensationalism that says in so many words that history is divided into seven dispensations, and it all depends upon what dispensation you're in as to what part of the Bible applies to you and as to how God deals with you. And it continued to emphasize the fact that this world is getting worse and worse, and there's no hope for any cultural change, that the only thing we have to wait for is the rapture of the church, and then there's a great tribulation. And there was cultural activity and engagement is a waste of time. To use their words, it's like polishing brass on the Titanic. The cultures of this world are sinking like the Titanic, and God wants it to sink, that he has no intentions of changing anything about culture, that we're just to try to save people and wait for the rapture. As a result, that people didn't realize that was because of the influence of Neoplatonism, and Neoplatonism was the old Greek philosophy, pagan Greek philosophy, by a man named Plotinus, that said that the only thing that's good and wholesome is the intellectual and spiritual, that material, physical, earthly things are evil, and therefore we ought not to get involved in those things. That led to the monastery movement of the Middle Ages, where the monks wanted to separate themselves from this world and all of the activities and of this particular physical world in which we live, and so they can just be spiritual and think about heaven. That didn't work. And in fundamentalism, you have this same view of the monks in the Middle Ages, and that is that Christians are not to get involved in politics, economics, this world, the various enjoyments and activities and institutions of this world, that we are only to think about our souls and about going to heaven. That's all that's good, the spiritual and heavenly. And so as a result, Christians in the early 20th century pulled out of the battle and left a big void there, and that void was filled by liberalism. One of the ways you see that is in the whole understanding of race and civil rights, and because that was worldly and that wasn't spiritual, many of the good men pulled out of that battle because they weren't supposed to get involved in it or preach on politics or anything like that from the pulpit. And so who stepped in the void? Modern liberals. And so we see where that has taken us. So there was in the late 19th century a new view of the church that was spreading called the spirituality of the church. The people that spread that pretended that it was old, but it was new.
In fact, can you pick up on the spirituality of the church, the movement known as that, right after our first break, because we have to go to our first break right now.
Sure.
And if anybody wants to join us with a question for Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Joe Moorcraft after these messages from our sponsors.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Romaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for 30 More than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
You don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Joseph C. Moorcraft, the third pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. He's also an author and has written an 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism. And we are discussing an assessment of the church in the 20th and 21st century. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question, and please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and country or residence if you live outside the USA. And right before the break, Dr. Moorcraft, you were beginning to describe a spirituality of the church movement, I think is the way you phrased it. And if you could tell us about when this arrived on the scene historically in the 20th century.
Yes, sir, but I don't want your hearers to think that the whole 2 hours is going to be pessimistic.
How could it be? You're a post-millennialist.
There were some great things that happened in the 20th century and the 21st, and I want to get to those, but I got to set the stage for them. So as a result of Barthianism that tried to redefine Christianity in terms of existentialism, and because of various other philosophies and under the influence of Neoplatonism that said the political, physical aspects of life are not for the Christian, they're just spiritual and heavenly. This view developed called the spirituality of the church that said that the church is not to get engaged in its preaching culturally. It is to only, quote, in their words, preach the gospel. Well, the Bible is divinely authoritative in everything about which it speaks, and it speaks about everything. And the gospel is rooted in the historical life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the implication of that gospel goes all over the world. So we are to preach about in the pulpit and take a stand as Christians on every issue of life about which the Bible speaks and not confine ourselves just to, quote, spiritual things, whatever that means. I had a good friend who I respected very much who held that view, and I had him speak for me at a preacher's conference, and I gave him a subject because I knew he'd say the wrong thing if I didn't tell him what I wanted him to speak on. And so I gave him the subject of Samuel Davies, who was a great colonial preacher in America. And he they published. So I thought he could do a good job at that. So he gave a good job at explaining, because he was a great preacher. Patrick Henry said under his preaching. And then he said this. He said, what made Samuel Davies' preaching so great is that he never referred to politics or any current events. Well, I just smiled. I didn't want to. He's an old friend of mine, so I wasn't going to say anything, except during the question and answer time. And I said, Brother So-and-so, I love those three volumes by Samuel Davies. Do you have them? He said, yes, I have the original. I said, so do I. I said, those first two volumes full of evangelistic messages will set a fire in your heart, won't they? He said, yes, they do. And I said, and that third volume full of political sermons on current events, that also will set a fire in your heart. And he just sort of smiled.
That just reminded me of a joke that I will quickly tell. There was a ministers' conference where ministers of different denominations were speaking, and one of the ministers was in the Church of Christ, which believes that immersion in water is required for the remission of sins. And so the men formulating the conference said to the Church of Christ minister, you cannot preach on baptism, so what we're going to do is we're going to give you a subject to preach so that we will likely be in agreement with you for the most part. So I want you to preach on, or we want you to preach on Genesis 1:1. So the Church of Christ minister got up to the podium when it was his turn. He said, I've been assigned to preach on Genesis 1:1, which reads, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth, by the way, is about 80% water, which brings me to my next subject.
I've known people like that. That's pretty good.
Sorry for interrupting you, though.
Yes, sir. You might call Christianity, as it came to the 20th century, a democratized version of Christianity. The emphasis in politics was on human rights, human autonomy, human decision, and that crept into the once great Calvinism of the American churches. So now the emphasis was on man's decision, man's initiative in salvation. And so Calvinism grew and faded along with its various other historical emphases, except for some few great men, like William Charles Robinson. William Charles Robinson, I have to mention, in the 20th century, he was my professor at Columbia Seminary when all the other professors were liberal.
And that's in South Carolina?
No, that was when it started. It was in Decatur, Georgia.
Okay.
At that time. So William Charles Robinson was getting old, and they were putting him out to pasture. I knew about him, so I wanted to sit under him. And he studied under Warfield. He was in Warfield's last class. And I have the New Testament, Greek New Testament, that William Charles Robinson used in Benjamin Warfield's class. In fact, this is the only one of its kind in the world. And if anybody wants to come and see me and see that Greek New Testament, it'll get you 20,000 years off purgatory. Because in the front of this Greek New Testament are two names and two dates. The first name is William Charles Robinson, and the date is 1921. That was the year he studied at Princeton under Warfield. The second date was William Charles Robinson, Jr., his son, who was a theological liberal, and the date is 1941. And 1941 was when the son studied under Karl Barth in Basel, Switzerland. So there you see pretty much the history of theology in those two names and those two dates. But William Charles Robinson stood for the faith, stood firm. In fact, in the 40s, when the fundamentalists wanted to quit fighting and defending Calvinism and the Reformed faith and narrow it down to four or five or six doctrines because the liberals have become so strong. William Charles Robinson stood up at the General Assembly. He wasn't an outstanding speaker, but he stood up in the General Assembly and pled with the General Assembly, meaning the fundamentalists and the liberals, not to give up on not just four or five doctrines, but the whole system of doctrine of the Westminster Confession of Faith. And single-handedly, he changed the direction of the whole General Assembly that year. So, Banner of Truth has come out with a biography of William Charles Robinson and some of his sermons. So I would encourage people, because most people don't know anything about him. And he was such a great man. And one time there was a theological liberal speaking at Columbia, which was liberal itself. And he would intersperse among his comments blasphemous statements, just to blaspheme. And of course the students loved it. And at a question and answer time, I said to this theological liberal, you would it would be more helpful if you didn't blaspheme when you give your lecture. You'd be more helpful if you didn't take God's name in vain. And he said, well, God is unknowable, and it's impossible to take his name in vain. And I said, well, how do you know he's unknowable? But then William Charles Robinson stood up and called to his side dozens and dozens of great men throughout history and silenced him. And so even though he is not well known, I would recommend, particularly preachers, to get the Banner of Truth books on William Charles Robinson.
And by the way, you could get them through one of our sponsors, cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. And you can just either type in the search engine Robinson, and all of those authors that have that last name will come up. And you can order that book. If they don't have it in stock, they will get it. The Banner of Truth is just a few minutes away from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service.
Yeah.
And I'm just pushing cvbbs.com as the way I'd like you to order it, because they sponsor the show.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you said that. So the church continued to go downhill. There weren't many good preachers in the 20s, 30s. 40s, 50s, there were some good theologians, but people didn't want to hear the Reformed faith.
Now, can I just interrupt you and ask you, obviously you're not an infallible prophet or anything, but do you have any idea or opinion as to what made the church at large such fertile ground to adopt such heresy at this stage from the late 19th century to the early 20th century?
It was all these influences that there was emotional pessimism that led to theological pessimism. There was this philosophical influence on America in general. That was a mixture of existentialism and subjectivism that downplayed the physical for the intellectual. There was a retreat of the church from its colleges and from its seminaries. And so the theological liberals and humanists replaced that. And then where churches had to go to get their preachers was to these seminaries, these colleges, and they had been brainwashed themselves. Columbia Theological Seminary, founded in Columbia, South Carolina in the 19th century, was a great, great seminary. William Henley Thornwell taught there. But by the time I got there in 1966, it was liberal. It was a mixture of Bartianism, Paul Tillich, a critical view of Scripture, and on and on. And they wouldn't tell people they would change because the people that were supporting them were older conservative Presbyterians they needed their money. So there was a lot of deception involved as well. And so it just kept going downhill.
Now, I think it'd be wise for me to interject here before we go to our midway break. There are dispensationalists and even, I would say, pessimistic amillennialists. I happen to be an amillennialist, but I'm an optimistic amillennialist, although I don't rule out being convinced of postmillennialism. But there are, as I said, dispensationalists and pessimistic amillennialists and pessimistic historic premillennialists who will say, I don't understand this guy Moorcraft. He claims to be a postmillennialist. And we're saying right now, amen and an amen and amen about the slide downward of theology in the church at large. How can he possibly claim to be a postmillennialist? And I'm assuming that you would agree with me. It's because they don't even understand postmillennialism because they have a caricature of it. They think that folks in your theological or eschatological camp believe it's going to be just a progressively upward arrow as far as history is concerned and going into the future. That there will be no dips into the depths of depravity and tyranny as far as history goes. It's just a straight upward leaning arrow or upward directed arrow. But that's not what postmillennialists believe for the most part, is it?
No, I'm glad you brought that up because it's on an upward slope, but it's up and down, and it's not triumphalism. That is, some people say that postmillennialism believe that we're just going to float to heaven on flowery beds of ease, and everything, we believe everything's going to be wonderful, and we're just going to have one victory after another, no setbacks. Well, I don't know anybody believes that, and it's not because of what we see, it's because of what we read in the Bible. And so I'm going to show you that what we've seen in our culture in the 20th century is God's judgment, and we have more judgment to come, and yet we see some bright lights of reformation and revival in American culture that we haven't seen in a long time.
In fact, we're going to have you pick up right there when we come back from our midway break, which we have to enter into now. And folks, please be patient because the midway break is longer than the other breaks because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, which airs this program, in fact, twice daily in a pre-recorded format in both morning drive and in the evening, they are required by the FCC to localize Zion Sharp and Zion Radio geographically to Lake City, Florida, and they do so by airing their own public service announcements and other local things to keep in compliance with the FCC. While they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Not only write down questions for Dr. Moorcraft and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, but also write down as much of the information as you can provided by as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And when you cannot purchase their products or use their services or visit their churches or financially support their parachurch organizations, when you cannot do that, and we hope that you do that as much as you can, but when you cannot do that, at the very least, will you please just respond to our advertisers and thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Zion Radio. If indeed you love the show and you are grateful that there are some people and some companies and ministries and churches that value this show so much that they want to support it financially to keep it in existence. If you're really grateful for that because you love the show, please thank our advertisers. We could not exist without them. And so thank them by using the contact information they provide and also send in your questions to Dr. Moorcraft to chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
J. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardenville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, do not forget how vital, how important, how necessary solid-ground-books.com is to the existence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are a premier, a primary, a key sponsor of this broadcast. And if they were to withdraw their advertising, we would likely be forced to go off the air unless God provided a financial miracle. So please, if you love this show, support solid-ground-books.com. Purchase books from them frequently and purchase generously, not only to replenish your own library and for your own self-edification, but also to bless the lives of family, friends, and loved ones by purchasing gifts for them from solid-ground-books.com. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor, by purchasing books from them. And you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and everyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they publish and bring back into print nothing but the very finest in Christian literature, dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com today. Purchase generously, purchase frequently, and always mention that you heard about them, Chris Arnzen, on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Joseph C. Moorcraft III about his assessment of the church in the 20th and 21st centuries, we just have a couple of more announcements to make. Folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, please help us. Please go to please go to ironsharpensironradio.com. Yeah, you can go to Solid Ground Christian Books website also, but then immediately go to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, using your local post office and sending in a physical check the old-fashioned way, made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen as well when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Folks, I am really hurting bad right now financially, and we really need your support desperately. In fact, we already have received a termination notice from the electric company to cut off the electric. And so, please, we don't have the money to even pay that electric bill right now. Please help us out. That bill is due by the 21st of April, and we are in urgent need of that financing. We are in urgent need of financing for everything else that requires money to keep this show in existence. So if you really love the show and you have the available money, please help us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And as I try to remind you every day, as much as I need this money to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio going, please don't cut into your regular giving that you're accustomed to your own local church where you're a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't do that. Please also don't take food off of your family's dinner table if you are really struggling to survive. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture. Providing for church and providing for your family and providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God in Scripture. But if you love this show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and home, I'm asking you, please, if you have extra money in the bank, if you have extra money for recreational purposes, for dining, for going to your favorite sport event, your favorite concerts, even your favorite Bible conferences, if you have that kind of money extra, then please share some of that money with us. We really need your help, folks. If you really want this show to stick around, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, theologically sound, biblically solid, doctrinally accurate church like Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, wherever you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe, and I may be able to help you find a church that is, according to that description, biblically sound and all the other things I said. I have extensive lists all over the world, and no matter where you live, I may be able to help you find a church, and I may even be able to help you find a church minutes away from your house, as I have done with listeners all over the world, including Australia and in Africa and all kinds of areas, not only in these 50 United States, but also in at least 26 foreign countries where we have listeners. So, please send me an email if you are in that category of needing a church home that is biblically sound. send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. That is, send your request for a church recommendation to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And that goes for those that have family, friends, and loved ones in areas where they do not have a biblically sound church home, too. chrisarnson@gmail.com, "I need a church" in the subject line. And that also goes for your questions to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. If you have a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. Dr. Moorcraft, right before the midway break, we were discussing how these downward slides in the church regarding its faithfulness throughout history, even when you go back further in the Dark Ages and so on, when you have the Church of Rome wielding its sword and the streets flowing red with rivers of blood through the torture and execution of faithful Christians by Rome. This does not in any way refute or negate or disprove postmillennialism, right?
As a matter of fact, things got continued to get worse until the 50s. 1950s, and then beginning in the 1960s, things rapidly started to change because of some things God did, so that by today, since the 1960s, by today, I believe there are more pastors faithfully preaching the historic Reformed faith than there have been in the past 100 years.
Yeah, in fact, that would have been about the time when the resurgence of Reformed Baptist belief arose on the scene, and churches that may have been historically rooted in Calvinism but had abandoned those views for decades, if not over a century, were returning to the Baptist roots of Calvinism, and so that would have been about the same time.
That is exactly correct. And the instruments that God used to do that, to awaken Reformed Baptists and Presbyterians, were people that some of these people you've never heard of. One was a mailman. He delivered the mail in Bassfield, Mississippi. His name was George Calhoun. He was a friend of mine.
Wow.
George Calhoun created Mount Olive Tape Library. He decided...
Oh, I spoke to George Calhoun, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. Go ahead.
He was a dear friend of mine, and so he decided to start collecting tapes of historic Reformed preachers to spread the Reformed faith. So he developed a library of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Reformed preachers. And he would rent them out to you. You could rent them from him for $25 for 25 cents for 2 weeks. And so, even though nobody knows him, he was used of God to lead who knows how many people, I'm one of them, into a better understanding of biblical Christianity.
Yeah, in fact, when the funny thing that George Calhoun said to me years ago, decades ago, when he asked me in his very deep voice, I think he was living in Mississippi at the time, he said to me, when he found out I was from New York at the time, he said, "You people in New York got it easy. All you got to do is get people saved. We got to get them lost, then get them saved."
That sounds like George Calhoun. I've seen his library of tapes, tens upon tens of thousands. Al Martin, one of the, in my opinion, the greatest, most gifted preacher of the late 20th century. Cornelius Van Til. Martin Lloyd-Jones, John Murray, preacher after preacher, thousands. You could rent them for 25 cents for 2 weeks. And God used George Calhoun to spread the Reformed faith far and wide, along with a man named Jay Green.
Oh, yeah.
J. Jay Green had discount book services. He would radically discount and publish Reformed books. He got in some trouble at the end of his life. But nevertheless, you could buy some of the reprints of the great reformers of the past for nothing from Jay Green. And I still have books in my library that I bought from him back in the 60s. Those two men, though unheard of, were God's instruments to bring a revival of the historic Christian or Reformed faith. Also, the original Reformed Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Reformed Seminary now, I cannot recommend. But the original Reformed Seminary that Morton Smith founded had some great professors and produced some very sound preachers, both Reformed Baptist and Presbyterian, and was used in the 60s and 70s particularly. And then also there was in those days a man by the name of R.J. Rushdoony.
Oh, yeah. In fact, Dr. Rushdoony was a client of mine on WMCA Radio. He sponsored a portion of The Voice of Sovereign Grace for a while. That was a program that I developed where every night of the week, Monday through Friday, a different pastor had his sermon broadcast. And R.J. Rushdoony sponsored one of those nights, and instead of a sermon, he was interviewed on various subjects on the program. So I remember Brother Rushdoony well, and I'm glad you brought him up.
Rushdoony, I believe, was one of the most important men in the 20th century. I can remember first started reading him when he had a report every month called the Chalcedon Report, and it was mimeographed. And I still have a collection of all those mimeographs.
I subscribe to that. That's no longer in existence?
Not the mimeographs are gone. But from that, he's published 30, 40, 50 books on subjects that everything from law to gospel to sanctification to education to philosophy to politics and on and on and on. He has been the man that has taught the church in the 20th, 21st century how to apply the jots and tittles of the Word of God to the details of life in our culture today.
You know, I used to mail him books that I enjoyed reading, and he did a positive book review in the Chalcedon Report on almost every single book I ever mailed him.
I mean, it's unbelievable what this man read. He has footnotes in his books, but I'll bet you nobody else has footnoted. I mean, he's read books on various subjects that I doubt if hardly anybody else has read. I mean, he has an exhaustive understanding of the 20th century. He died around the year 2000. But I wish I could impress people. It's not devotional literature. If you're just used to reading devotional literature like Spurgeon Morning and Evening, which Becky and I read here, if you're just used to reading that kind of literature, then this is going to be hard going for a while because you have to think. And Christians aren't used to thinking. They want to feel, not think.
Yeah, there's a time and a place for those different approaches, too.
Oh, that's true.
Because I know that you're not downgrading or insulting Spurgeon for his Morning and Evening.
In any way, shape, or form, I love Spurgeon. But I will say, if all a person does is read a devotional verse out of the Bible every day or by Spurgeon, he's not going to leave much of an impact or escape much of the seductions of the modern world. He's got to read the Bible seriously, not just to get a good feeling, but he's got to read the Bible seriously to try to understand how to live life. And we read the Bible to understand how to be saved, but we read the Bible to understand how to be saved from hell when we die. But we read the Bible to understand how we can be saved from sinning so much in this life, either as individual or as families or as nations. He was the father of the homeschool movement. I can remember when he wrote his book, The Messianic Character of American Education. That book put a flame under Christians. They started building Christian schools. They started homeschooling. And Rushton, he would travel around the country being an expert witness in various homeschool trials when homeschooling was not legal in states, causing homeschooling to be legal. And so it's that rise in Christian education, Christian schools and homeschools, that God used Rushton to accelerate. That's one of the greatest causes of the advance and acceleration of the Reformed faith in the 20th and 21st centuries. He wrote books on politics, and he showed you don't have to just be conservative. You got to be distinctively Christian and Trinitarian in your understanding of politics.
Yeah, if you're just so-called conservative, there are many people who claim to be fiscally and politically conservative on Fox News, for instance, who are open homosexuals. And
not only that, but now Fox News has a transgender person.
Yes.
And so he wrote books on the family. He wrote, I think, his greatest book every Christian should read, called The Institutes of Biblical Law. In one volume, there were several volumes, but it's the first volume that's the important thing, showing, going through the scriptures. I use it all the time. You go to the index in the back of the book, and if you want to preach on a text or you want to know what a text is, don't preach on that text until you've seen what Rushton said about it. And like I tell young preachers all the time, if you're expositing a passage of Scripture and you're just making personal spiritual application, you're not through yet. You're not through with your text until you make cultural applications. And no writer, no preacher's infallible, of course, not even Rushton. But his strength knew how to speak Reformed theology into culture effectively, so that it's not just some kind of abstract thing, that is the most relevant thing in the world. And so somebody asked me one time, where are the Rushtonies and the Bonsons? As if to say, what's happened to Christian Reconstruction movement? And my answer to that is, Christian Reconstruction is just a new term for an old thing. That it is for the reformation of society by the Word of God, which Calvinists have always been for. And even though we don't have many famous people, there are still some famous heroes like George Grant and Gary DeMar. And we had a hero die a couple weeks ago, Gary North. But those that are trying to apply biblical principles to every area of life are flying under the radar. There are all kinds of new churches, new publishing houses, new periodicals, new radio stations like yours, all over the world, literally. That there's more actual reformation of society taking place now than there was in the 20th century. We learned how to do it in the 20th century. And now in the first quarter of the 21st century, it's actually being done right now. And, of course, people are going to always make people look extreme who believe things they don't agree with. But there's nothing extreme. There's nothing new about it. It's simply the old Reformed faith applied to the cultures of the modern world. And that's where Rushton was a great hero. If you've never read Rushton before, start with his paperback book, Law and Liberty. It's not hard reading. It's delightful reading. And then don't stop there. Continue to read him. And you have authors that are famous now following in his books, footsteps, like Gary DeMar and American Vision. Gary DeMar is very effective in writing and preaching on the historical emphases of the Reformed faith, particularly in the whole subject of the end times and worldviews. And then one of the most famous people today responsible for spreading the Reformed faith is George Grant. George Grant speaks all over the place. He's written countless numbers of books, and God has used him greatly.
You reminded me that I've got to get George Grant back on my show. He's been a guest here, and he's written a wonderful endorsement for my program, and I've got to get him back.
Yes, sir, you do. So my heroes, since we've been for about 9 or 10 weeks, we've been talking about heroes for Christians. There are a lot of heroes today that I have that nobody knows about. They're not famous. When people ask me who are your favorite preachers, they think I'm going to say some famous guy like Martin Lloyd-Jones. But I tell them, you're not going to know them. They're just hardworking, faithful, Reformed preachers in small churches that expound the Word of God faithfully week after week. Not many noble, not many mighty. God has chosen the base and the weak to confound and confuse the high and the mighty. And so there are signs of a great movement. Now, God's continuing to judge America. I expect him to judge America even more severely in the next few years to come. But that's to make the light brighter so that people can see how dark the darkness is and how bright the light is. And the bright light of the Reformed faith is shining all over, not just America, but all over the world. There are people that are spreading the Reformed faith, like I say, more than there were in the middle and early part of the 20th century.
Now, let me just interrupt you for a moment so I could take at least a couple of the listener questions before we continue with your words of wisdom on history and the church. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island. And Ronald says, I know that there was a rift for quite a long time between R.J. Rushdoony and his son-in-law, Gary North. Was this a theological rift, or was it over personal matters?
Well, that it did happen. I hate to bring it up. It was, I know about it from both sides, and it was a expository issue that caused great pain between them. And before Rushdoony died, they were reconciled.
Oh, praise God, because I didn't even know that. I did know that.
Nobody does. Gary North wrote Rush a letter, in so many words, apologizing.
No, praise God.
Rush did. He was dying. He couldn't write a letter. But he did tell somebody to tell Gary glad he wrote the letter.
Oh, that is great. Because I do know, in fact, I think it was the Chalcedon Report, or it may have even been your magazine, the Council of Chalcedon. I can't remember which one it was, but I read a glowing obituary by Gary North for his father-in-law.
Yeah. I was at Gary's funeral about 2 weeks ago. And he was a great man. He was Rush's son-in-law. He was a man that took the Word of God into economics and wrote, I don't know how many books, he wrote 26,000 articles in his life on economics and politics and education. He put, like we say in the South, he put the fodder where the cattle can reach it. And God used him on a very common and practical level to influence countless numbers of people, especially businessmen. Businessmen like to read Gary North because he taught them if you obey the law of God in economics, you're going to make money. And he followed his own advice. So that is an old difference that people still bring up to this day, that they've heard one way or another, but it was healed.
Well, praise God for that. We have another listener. We have Christopher in Amityville, Long Island, New York, is where I was born and raised, where I lived before I moved to Pennsylvania. Christopher asks, I have heard some very stern rebukes towards those that favor the theology of Gordon Clark. These rebukes have typically come from those who favor Cornelius Van Til. What was that dispute over, and would you still recommend Gordon Clark in spite of any differences you may have had with him?
Well, even good guys who love each other and share the same basic theology can disagree with each other on things. And Gordon Clark was a Calvinist himself, but he disagreed with mainstream Calvinism on several things. He disagreed in eschatology, disagreed in apologetics. There are books that he's written that I would recommend. Commentary on the Westminster Confession of Faith. There are books I wouldn't recommend. He wasn't a heretic, but he, like Van Til, loved the Reformed faith, but they disagreed seriously with each other on some theological details that were not trivial. They were important.
Well, we're going to go to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks, and we'll have Dr. Moorcraft continue with his assessment of the church in the 20th and 21st century. I have a feeling this is going to be another one that goes into multiple parts, but if you have a question, send it in now, because we're rapidly running out of time. Send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Why can't we see God? How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908 908-
908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart?
consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Dr. Moorcraft, if you could pick up where you left off and give us some of the highlights, whether they are positive or negative, from the assessment of the church in the 20th and 21st century.
There was another great instrument of God in bringing a revival of the Reformed faith, and that was the formation of the Presbyterian Church in America in 1973. The Southern Presbyterian Church, or the Presbyterian Church in the United States, had become so liberal and so anti-Christian that solid Christians could not stay in it any longer. And so in 1973, some 40,000 of us created the Presbyterian Church in America. And 40,000 of us left the old Southern Presbyterian Church that was so great in the 19th century. In leaving, many of us, like I did, many of us lost our church property. State courts took them away from us, and we had to meet in funeral homes and community centers and things like that. But the conservatives, not everybody that formed the PCA, were strictly Calvinistic. They were all evangelical. There were two things that held all these 40,000 people together. One was they believed in the infallibility of the Bible. And secondly, they didn't like theological liberals. Beyond that, there was everything. And so when the PCA was formed, we knew then in its formation that it wasn't going to be historically reformed, though we prayed and wanted for it to be. But nevertheless, we got away from liberals. Now we could spend our time carrying out the Great Commission, that those who were reformed genuinely got to know each other. It wasn't as big a denomination as the Southern Presbyterian Church. We got to know each other. And so there was a real revival of Reformed preaching through the formation of the PCA, even though much of the leadership in the PCA was hostile to the historic Reformed faith. And as time went on, those that were thoroughly Reformed were people who were losing more influence in the denomination. And those that were more evangelical than Reformed started moving in places of leadership and making sure that the denomination did not move in a strictly Reformed perspective. So as a result, the PCA grew weaker and weaker, and more compromises took place. Until over the years, several groups of people within the PCA left the PCA and started new little micro denominations. And those have been powerful. There's several of them all over the country. And they are strictly Reformed. They have their own little distinctions they may disagree about. But they are distinctively and historically Reformed. And it's these, and I don't want to just say it's the Presbyterians, but the Reformed Baptists are getting to know each other and are realizing that the historic Baptist institutions in this country are not that reliable anymore, And so these clusters of people, Reformed Baptists and Reformed Presbyterians, are forming new presbyteries, new associations, more churches, more mission work. It is amazing how much money they're spending and how much manpower that they're doing. So the creation of the PCA was a great instrument of God in bringing a revival of the Reformed faith. Not because the PCA was reformed, but because now the reformed people could get to know each other. They would not have to worry about being persecuted by liberals. But as time went on and the PCA became more and more liberal itself, in the doctrines of creation, homosexuality, ethics, all those things, that these micro-denominations have formed and new little seminaries have formed. Not just seminaries, but pastors like I do mentor young men prepared for the ministry. So they don't have to spend their time going to an institution, although Greenville Theological Seminary, also started by Morton Smith, is a very good seminary in Greenville, South Carolina, and a lot of good guys are trained there.
That's where Dr. Piper is.
Yeah, that's where Joey Pipe is, and it's the one seminary I can recommend.
One of my pastors, actually, even though he's a Reformed Baptist, John Miller, had a part of his seminary education there. And in fact, when he was there, he was the only Baptist in the student body.
Well, that's great. And I mentor young men in the ministry in various places in the country, too, to make sure that they can pass a presbytery exam. People are publishing more and more literature in foreign languages. There's this man named Frank Brito in Brazil, who's right now the most influential Calvinist in Brazil.
Yeah, I've interviewed him at your recommendation.
Yes, sir, and he is translating my books into Portuguese, as well as some other people. And so there are things like that happening all over the place. There is a young Reformed Baptist preacher in England, Puyan Masahi, who is translating several of my sermons into Persian.
Wow.
Farsi, to be preached in Iran.
Praise God.
So things like this are happening all over the world, and I know without a shadow of doubt that someday the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Amen. I want to throw in somebody who has become a hero of mine because of the direct effect something that he established had on my life personally. As you may remember, due to my falling into, or should I say diving face forward into the sin of drunkenness years ago, over a decade ago, after having been sober for 18 years, I admitted myself into a Christian rehabilitation and recovery ministry in Boone, North Carolina, called Hebron Colony Ministries.
I know it. It's good.
Yes, and that was founded by the Reverend E.A. Dillard, who was a Southern Presbyterian pastor in Charlotte, North Carolina. And when the liberalism had gotten so bad, he urged his congregation to leave the Southern Presbyterian Church with him so that they could start a new congregation, and the vast majority refused to follow him. So that is the reason. This is where you have Romans 8:28 coming into play, where something horrible like that happened. The good thing is that he moved to Boone, North Carolina, and as he witnessed American GIs returning home from World War II, drunkards, he is the one that established Hebron Colony Ministries in Boone. And I thank
that is wonderful.
And I thank God for that ministry, because it is God using that ministry that I think I'm alive right now.
Amen. And one other thing while we have time, another great influence in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s was Jay Adams.
Oh, yeah, I interviewed him, too.
Yeah, Jay Adams was a Presbyterian preacher, lived to be up in his 90s, and was the greatest teacher of biblical counseling and psychology in the United States in the last half of the 20th century. It's called Nuthetic Counseling, N-O-E-T-H-E-T-S-E, Nuthetic Counseling. And it means counseling that is done from beginning to end in terms of the Word of God. It's not like most Christian, in quote, counseling today that's baptized humanism. They sprinkle a few Bible verses onto some already presupposed pagan psychology. And as a result, a lot of the compromised Christian, in quote, counselors tried to make him look to be like a fool. But I practiced his what he preached for 50 years.
Amen.
And God used it. I would recommend to parents, it's not just for scholars, parents to get his book, Competent to Counsel, in which he shows how all forms of counseling and Christian counseling are unbiblical compared to an exclusively biblical form. And then once you've gotten the Competent to Counsel, get his book, A Christian Counselor's Manual. It's great for parents. It's great for preachers, where he goes through everything he possibly can, problems and challenges and sins and temptations that we face in the world today, and shows how the Bible explicitly applies to each of those situations.
We have a friend of yours, Gary Wagner, who is the pastor of Reformed Heritage Church in Los Gatos, California, who has a question. I would like to ask Joe how he... I'm sorry?
I love him. He's great.
Amen. I would like to ask Joe what he thinks about two kingdom theology and how it has affected the Reformed Church.
Tübingen, is that what he said?
Two kingdom theology.
Oh, two kingdom. Yeah, that is terrible. It is. Westminster Seminary used to be a great seminary, started by J. Gresham Machen. I didn't even get to mention Machen, one of my all-time heroes in the 30s. But it, like a lot of Presbyterian churches, have been compromised through the years in an effort to escape the law of God, that they don't have to talk about the law of God. And two kingdom theology says that the church is one kingdom that's governed by the Bible. The state is another kingdom that's governed by reason and natural law. Now that's deadly. That is the law that allowed the church to support Adolf Hitler. It says that God's law is confined only to the church. And so the state does not have to obey God's law in the Bible. It just has to obey reason and natural law. And hence, many of its supporters, which are famous Calvinists, many of its supporters do not believe that the state should outlaw homosexual marriages. They themselves are against it in their own church. But since the state does not have to obey the law of God contained in the scriptures, then it has no obligation to outlaw homosexual marriages. So it is a terrible view, two kingdom view. One kingdom is the church. It is to be governed by the Bible. The other kingdom is the state, and it's to be governed by natural law and reason, which means it can do about anything it wants.
Well, thank you, Gary, and I want to give Gary's website for his church, which, as I said before, is Reformed Heritage Church in Los Gatos, California. It's reformedheritage.org, reformedheritage.org. Well, we are out of time, Dr. Moorcraft, and I would like to enter into part two of your assessment on the 20th and 21st century next time. And, in fact, we left out, due to lack of time, I'm sure, J. Gresham Machen the foundation of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia and other things. But if I could, I would like to announce to you folks again the website for Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia. It's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, and also look for Tim Renshaw's website, who is an elder of Heritage Presbyterian Church, comprehensivechristianity.com, comprehensivechristianity.com, and let's not forget westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Moorcraft, for, as always, doing such a superb job as my guest today. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write. Sorry about those who we did not have time to read your questions on the air. Perhaps when Dr. Moorcraft returns, we can have your questions read. I hope you all have a very safe, happy, healthy, and joyful and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.